All right, how we doing, folks? We are back. Big week. 2 weeks in a row for the boys recording. That, I mean, clap it up, boys. That's two podcasts in a row. One more, and that's what they call a winning streak. AB, you've Wi-Fi's been giving you trouble. I thought there'd be no better way to test your Wi-Fi than for you to give me a quick Bob Davis impersonation of him calling the Kerry Meyer touchdown against Missouri, 2008.
Raising steps up, avoids pressure. He's on Meyer, touchdown, 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 Kerry Meyer.
Okay, you did lag. You did not lag. We were talking before you hopped back on, and we sit B&B term were like, it would be so funny if you went through that and then froze, which I think he's frozen right now.
I thought he was messing with us.
It's insane.
Hey, but
no, it's insane.
But you got through the Bob Davis segment, which was most important.
Rest in peace, Bob.
Yeah, seriously.
Crazy. That call is electric.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, it doesn't even have to be football season, or it can just be random day of the week, and I get on YouTube and watch that clip. Like, that game was so awesome.
It's one of the three plays in our intro.
Yeah, it's a must-have. If you're putting together a list of calls in Kansas history, it's got to be on every list. So, yeah, shout out Bob. Shout out the Border War. It's back. Feels like it's been a literal century since this game. How we feeling? I haven't been on a ton. B-turn, I see you've gotten in the mud a little bit. Crazy. I forgot how absurd Missouri fans are. It's just such a, but that's what makes this rivalry the best, is psychos on both sides. Missouri fans are just so mean and morbid and just bad people sometimes. But we got a big game, and I'm excited. I think the Hawks have a chance. How you guys feeling heading into it?
No, I mean, like you said, it's just pure hatred towards each other. Like, I fucking hate them. They hate us. It's been like that forever. Like, K-State, of course, we dislike them. It's a rival, but like this, it literally is war. And losing to them feels like the end of the world. Obviously, you go back to the game day game at Arrowhead, but then yeah, like the raising pass to Meyer, like that feeling after beating them in football on a neutral field is just incredible. And yeah, like you said, it's felt like it's been forever. I mean, it's been since 06 since we played in Como, so I'm juiced. And yeah, I didn't like, obviously the basketball games you're excited for. AB, you talked about last week when CB and all them came out, everyone's amped up. You felt that football is just a whole nother animal. And I couldn't be more excited. And yeah, like you said, on social media, it was easy to be reminded of why you hate them. Like, obviously you don't get to play them every year, but yeah, you get on social media and see a bunch of crazy stuff. You hear a bunch of crazy stories. I mean, just from guests we've had on, from the Antlers and what they're willing to do, like they still hate us just as much, it feels like. And I'll be in the building on Saturday.
Wow.
So that will be interesting. Sober B turn. I won't be yapping. Yeah, I don't yap. So we'll see what they do to me. But I don't think our guy Austin Eckert's going.
Yeah, I saw that ruffled some feathers where he told, what'd he say? Told KU fans to be careful. I don't think that's, I honestly agree with Missouri fans. Like, I know Twitter is a wild place. I don't think KU fans are going to get beat up in Missouri. Like, it's just, I don't know. That'd be wild. And
there'll be some fights, but I'm sure it'll be like self-inflicted almost. Like, you're yapping, people are drinking a little bit.
Yeah.
I might get back on the horse if we win. Like, I'm serious, dude. Hate them.
I'm getting off and getting on my phone because this laptop is about to be thrown out the window. So we'll see you guys in about 2 minutes.
All right. Love it.
But yeah, but, I've never been to a KU Mizzou sporting event in Columbia, like basketball or, I mean, I debated going for the last few years, but I'm glad I've never been because this, the buildup, I mean, it's almost 20 years since we played there.
Yeah.
And
why is this not College Game Day?
Yeah. They're going to a game that happens every single year. Like this is one of the, everyone knows this is one of the most insane rivalries in college sports. And it's been almost 15 years since they played each other.
Yeah. Just seems lazy.
And it's an SEC school who is damn good in Missouri.
So they're going to Iowa State, I assume. I haven't even.
Think so. Unless.
Yeah.
Maybe it's.
I think that's right.
Fox.
Is that right?
I don't know. I know they're getting one of them.
Tell me where College Game Day is going. One of them's Big Noon, College Game Day, whatever. But I know Iowa State's
going. Oh, my God.
B-turns watching the Royals. I assume that's not a good sign. Oh, Michigan and OU. That's right. That's College Game Day, which is very lame. What's wrong? Lock in. I don't have AB, so you can't sit here and pout about the Royals.
Oh my God. Joe Adele for back.
Electric podcasting here.
Where is that game? In Norman?
No idea.
I know Michigan obviously has Bryce Underwood, that big name QB. Who's OU starting QB? Now.
There's AD.
They got John Mateer, I think, from Washington State.
What's up, baby?
And Norman.
Me?
So game day's at Norman. Joe Adele just hit a 3-run shot. Maybe.
Are you serious? The season was over probably long before yesterday. Anyways, the game day thing is like, what do we mean? Like, no shit, they're gonna go to Oklahoma, Michigan. There's two of the top 10 brands in the sport. Like, I get it, but we're an unranked matchup. Non-conference, I don't know. But I did want to say, we were talking about Mizzou fans saying the meanest things to KU fans, and I really want to get this off my chest. Nothing makes me more upset and hurts me deeper than when Mizzou fans do the lowercase K instead of the capital K. It really hurts me deep down, and I wish they'd stop doing that one exactly. That one's a bit too far for my liking.
That's where you draw the line.
Honestly, I think KU Mizzou should get it over that game. I don't care the pedigree of the programs. Like, this is one of the biggest rivalries.
Yeah, but it's
in the
ESPN.
History of college sports.
I promise more people watch Michigan, Oklahoma than KU Mizzou, and that's what they really care about.
Yeah,
Which sucks, but next year in Lawrence.
Like, why would KU Mizzou not be attractive for people to watch? Like, you got Mizzou won double-digit games last year, returned a lot of pieces, and that's one of the better teams in the SEC. KU isn't what we used to be. Like, there's expectations. I don't know. You're obviously right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Iowa State is a game that happens every single year, and it's a punt off 6-3 final.
Iowa State, I have beef with because that's a snooze fest every single year. So it is what it is. I asked this last week, like, where it was like I came into the season, didn't have a ton of expectations for this team. And it was kind of the same way with this game, where it was like I haven't really thought all summer about how badly I want to beat Missouri. But now it feels like we absolutely can. Like, if we get good Jalen Daniels, which I think is still a question, but – so far it's been promising. If we get good Jalen Daniels, there's no reason we can't go win this game, right? Like, I don't know. Is the expectation absolutely to go win?
I mean, I feel like in this big of a rivalry, you kind of got to have that expectation as a fan. Like, everything's up in the air. Everyone's going to be going balls out, like balls to the wall, balls out.
Balls out. Hey, Chris Jones gets the job done.
So, like, yeah, it's like I was telling Rye, AB, it was 6. I think it opened 6.5, and Mizzou's been getting bet, and it hasn't gotten to a touchdown yet. So, I don't know. Like, maybe they Vegas thinks we can hang. But I mean, we've seen the flashes from JD the whole time he's been at KU. Like even last year, they start off slow, makes bad decisions, but he was pretty awesome to end the year. And I don't think anyone in the program or around the program was very happy with the play callers. And I think Z and Lubick, like, I think they can scheme something up. Like, everything's probably been vanilla so far, I would hope, against the two Jerrys we've played. So, I mean, I think you'll see a bunch of new wrinkles, and we have the weapons, dude. Like, me and Rye were talking about Pickett. You got Emmanuel Henderson, who's as fast as anyone on the field. You got two vet running backs. I'm just really nervous about the offensive line. Like, Mizzou has animals up front, and our O-line had question marks before this game anyways. So I think that might be the biggest matchup in this game, like where Mizzou can really wreak havoc or our O-line could just cost us. But that kind of comes back to Z and Lubick, like, scheming around that. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. AB, are you what's your confidence level on a win?
Like a 5, but I'm going in, like, I feel like with some rivalry games, K-State, before we really kind of turned it around, it was just like, yeah, there's no shot. Like, what's even the point of getting excited? Like, I do have a genuine, like, if we don't win this game, I'll be very upset. And which is good. That's what sports is all about, man. You don't get that feeling too often. But like, I wouldn't, I don't know that I'm going to predict us to win. I think we cover, but like, if we go out and lose by 10, I wouldn't be stunned. If we lose by 20, I don't think I'd be that stunned, to be honest. But if we go out and win by 20, I wouldn't be that stunned either. I'm just ready for to be here. Like, this is the first time K-State's up there too, but I feel like there are games that we're excited to watch because we know we're playing, we know we have a chance. And then there are games you're like, every day during the week, you're counting down the hours until that game kicks off. And that's one of them, this, for me at least.
I mean, yeah. Think about the history of the rivalry. Like, the last time we played in Columbia, I don't even think I remember watching it on TV or anything. Like, I guarantee I watched it, but I don't remember moments from it. Yeah, like, I remember all the Arrowhead games. Yeah, like, I think BMAC and them won there, like, right when Mangino got there. But yeah, 06, I think they kicked our ass. But I don't even remember the last time watching KU play on that field, and it's such a historic rivalry.
It actually infuriates me a little bit that we, like, the first year of it not being a home and home and it going to a neutral, and it was a year that we should have had it at home, was the year that we were both top 5.
Yeah.
Just,
I know.
You know.
Nobody loves giving up home games in really important seasons more than the Kansas football Jayhawks. We love playing in Arrowhead when we really need to play home games.
You know who else loves it? The Kansas State football Wildcats.
Hey, they're good.
We'll get to them later.
Hey, okay. So I played this game last year, and well, it's not really a game. It's just like a conversation around, I think it might have been before the season last year. I said, okay, if things start to go poorly, who immediately, you know how KU Twitter, we always find our thing that it's like we blame that for, you know, basketball, it was KJ and Hunter. This year, or football, it was obviously Jeff Grimes. And so I asked last year, like, who's going to get all the heat if things go poorly? If we lose by 20 points on Saturday, is it, I don't know. Like, is it a Jalen? Do you see KU Twitter up in flames blaming Jalen? Do you see people turning on the new, you know, Coach Z? That's, like, I don't know.
That's like when you started asking the question, I was wondering if you meant like personnel wise or from a coaching staff standpoint. And from a coaching standpoint, I can't really think who they would blame it on. Just like DK just became the defensive coordinator. Everyone loves Z, and we've succeeded with Z before. Like, it probably would be easy to just blame JD because he's been here for so long, and he is the quarterback and the leader of the whole, I mean, leader of the program. So I don't know. We haven't really seen us beat any of our rivals since he's been here, as depressing as that sounds. There's also been somewhere he's missed, but yeah, if we lose by 20, that feels like the offense probably didn't do shit, and Mizzou had the ball all game.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. I guess
turnovers leading the points.
What do you think, AB?
I think it's either I don't know. I'm stumped on like if it's if we lose 41 to 34. You know what I mean? Like, who are we going to get upset with on the defense? Is it DK? I don't know.
I kind of, the more you guys talk through it, I was like, I feel like people, like B-Turn said, people love Coach Z. People didn't love the DK hire. So it's like.
And Borland got a lot of heat. Like, Grimes obviously got shit on, but Borland was getting it pretty bad there for a while.
Yeah. So probably I don't more know. Than one season. I don't know why I'm going so negative here, but I'm always just
I know what you're saying though.
I love trying to predict KU meltdowns before they happen because it's just like I don't know, it's always entertaining to watch them unfold. And I think what I don't want to see, and I know it'll happen, but like I don't want us to lose 41-34 like you're saying, AB. Like I don't think that warrants a meltdown.
No.
Like, I think that would be a huge that would be proof that this team is going to be better than expected, I think. I think we all kind of agree with that so far. But this season or this game, I feel like will really lay the groundwork for, like, how we all feel over the next 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah. And, I mean, but, yeah, this is leading into Big 12 play. Like, the next – we get a bye after Mizzou. Yeah, that's what I was just reading that, and it does make sense. It's just tough because, like AB said, if it is a shootout back and forth, like there's no clock management issues from Lance, or like I don't know, it could just be a shootout where the players are making plays and Leipold doesn't even really get a say where like he takes a stupid timeout or whatever. But I agree with him because think about how many tight games we lost last year. I think that's maybe something we're forgetting. Like, we lost 5 or 6 one-score games, and we only won one of them. We only won one one-score game. So, and I feel like Lance kind of got some heat for those, and they kind of piled up. Like at beginning of the year, you get Illinois, you get UNLV, you get the West Virginia one was awful. Like Grimes took a lot of heat for that.
Oklahoma State from the year before with Bean.
K-State last year.
Yeah. 2 years.
So it could, yeah. I'm just saying, like, one score games where, I mean, we had the ball. We had the ball against West Virginia to put the game away, and then we had the ball against K-State to, what, go take the lead, or I forget what the score was. JD fumbled, but.
Oh, we had the ball against K-State with the lead, right? And all we needed to do was just get to freaking midfield and get into field goal range.
But we couldn't check out of them blitzing every single play.
This is the segment where we talk about K-State meltdown and Rich Miller's dropped interception. Just kidding. We're moving on. Moving on. I'll throw another like hypothetical to you, or not a hypothetical. I don't know. In what way would be the worst way to lose? Does that make sense? Like, would you getting blown out, or would losing due to like poor clock management or poor play calling late in a close game, like which one would have you guys feeling worse?
Late game clock management kind of thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even though getting blown out would be like, damn, we might just suck. Like this team.
That's kind of what I was going to ask is like, if we do lose by multiple scores, like, are we going to be out on this team losing to a super talented SEC team? Which that's an excuse, but it's going to be the most hostile environment they play in. And like Mizzou is, I mean, it might be the best team we play all season. Defensively, they got to have the best defense we play. So, but if we do hang and it sounds like loser mentality, like I'm going to be pissed probably for a week, but then we're definitely talking ourselves into winning a decent amount of Big 12 games. I mean, we start with Cincy and Westva, and then we go to UCF. Like, we better be able to beat those teams at home and then beat Scott Frost if we're healthy. Scott Frost.
AB, what do you think?
Nebraska. Made no sense.
On which way we'd rather lose?
We're still on our-
Yeah, no, I think losing like close, like obviously it sucked to get blown out, but last year I had the this is the year to like take big strides. This year I don't really feel that way. I feel like it's obviously we have JD back, but I feel like it's a big transition. So I mean, we still might be good, but if we get blown out, I won't be as devastated knowing that we're not as good as we thought we were the first 2 weeks as I would have been like last year if, you know, things would have gone differently. I can't like this is a good con man.
I wanted to bring this question to the podcast, but then I didn't want to. But since
I know
that, I mean,
it's easy for me.
I think it's easy for me too.
The implications are just way bigger against K-State.
Yeah,
and it's been 16. I don't know, however many years.
Yeah, it's K-State, and I
get it sucks it. Saying that.
Yeah. But it absolutely is. The last 2 years are a huge reason for that. Like, we have been the better football team in those games two straight years. We deserve to freaking win that game. And the Big 12 implications, obviously. But let's just win one of them, and this will be a pretty sick season. I would say that. Like, that's what's awesome about it is, even though, AB, to your point, this could be a transition year, you go out and you win Missouri or K-State and all of a sudden it's a memorable year. So
yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
and it's like
if we lose them
just
both,
in general like it's a great early season test as long as we come out healthy. Like, it would suck if we get banged up, but playing a really good SEC team early in the season, I feel like can't really hurt.
Yeah.
But God, I want to win. I hate them so much. Like, my hatred for them, it doesn't even come close to K-State. Like, it's just, you can't describe it. I feel like K-State fans don't really understand that. Like, we do dislike them. We really want to fucking beat them. But like, we despise Missouri. Everything about them. Everything about them is disgusting.
Like, yeah, it is a different type of, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but
I got it. People are going to take this poorly. K-State feels like the annoying little brother. Mizzou feels like the person at school that you want to beat the shit out of every day because you cannot stand.
Yeah. You know, it is. Like, K-State's kind of irritating. I see a lot more K-State Twitter because, like, you know, the difference is I'm friends with people that are, like, huge K-State fans. Whereas, like, I don't really know any Missouri fans, which is very weird considering – we're just so close, but I really don't. So
don't you think it's crazy that like college students now like don't really, they probably don't grasp how crazy the rivalry is. Like they have to hate K-State more than Mizzou, right?
Yeah.
They didn't really grow up watching us play them.
I think our basketball team this year, our basketball team without CB and like Grady Dick made it very clear that the rivalry may just not mean as much to younger kids because, wow, did we play good in Columbia this year.
Man. Jesus.
Let's talk KJ starting next to Hunter Dickinson. How about that, guys?
God, what were we talking about? I had something so important.
More important than KU basketball lineup talk? So let's see. Oh, okay. While you're thinking of that, I love this game too. If we beat Missouri, where are we ranked next week? And then all of a sudden, there's three wins right in front of you. When do we enter the top 10? That's the game I'd like to play. We talked negative reactions. What's the positive reaction if we go in and win this game?
This can be a brutal clip if we lose.
Yeah, I mean,
if we're 3-3 heading into Lubbock or K-State game, whatever comes.
It's like, yeah, they're not three of the best teams in the Big 12, but they're still conference wins. And obviously other teams around the country are going to be beating up on each other losing. So you're 6-0, six games in to the season. Going what to Lubbock?
I think it's Lubbock and then K-State.
Yeah, Lubbock will be really tough, but if you do end up winning those first three Big 12 games, like, you're still in a great spot. Like, you don't want to lose, but you you're probably not going to run the table in Big 12 play regardless, but you have to be flirting with the top 10. Like, how would you not? Because like you just said, you're in the polls if you win this week. And then
what?
That would be, we get a bye next week? Are we off next week?
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, it would be next week teams are losing and then three more. So yeah, 4 weeks.
And you're sitting there 6-0. Ben, you might be right, but if we aren't ranked after this week, I will riot. I mean, but who knows? I don't know ball enough to know. But that is crazy that to think we could start 3-0 and not be ranked with a road win.
With an SEC road win? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'd be ranked.
Someone brought up that big kicker for Mizzou hitting the game winner against K-State, losing like that. Reminds me, Mizzou's kicker out for the season.
Wow.
Who's don't let us win 32-30.
So what did they host like tryouts on the campus? And
I forget what they did, but I think that because they were having a QB battle too. And I think Sam Horn's out for the year too.
Yeah, it's Pagula or Padula or whatever his name is.
Madula Amlagata.
More or less. Mama's wrong again.
Pagula.
Yeah, so, supposedly Kamara, it was like thought to be season ending, but now it's not as bad as they initially thought. So he might be back this year, which we need. Like, we finally got athletic at linebacker, what we've been waiting for, and he goes down.
Yeah.
Non-contact at practice. Like, that just sucks. I feel for him. John's going to start at linebacker on Saturday. Got ejected against Wagner.
Yeah. Dude, has it always been the case? I thought for sure when I was at the game that he was suspended for the first half. Like, is that different because he did it in the first half, or is that rule changed?
Or it was to get suspended for the next game, it has to happen in the second half, right, AB?
I think so. But
like, first half, you're just done for the game.
Yeah.
But
it's such a stupid rule.
It's got to get changed.
It really is.
Dude, people are getting like college football playoff semifinal, a guy at second half gets targeting. He's fucking has to start sit for the first half of a national title game.
Here's an idea. Start fining them. They're all making money. If you're going to pay them like pros, let's start fining them for doing that. Like, don't affect outcome of future games.
I feel like half of them anyways, or at least half of them, don't have any bad intent behind them. It's just people running full speed. Like, what are we doing? It's just, I get it. Like, their heart's in the right place, but it's just so silly to me.
It is. It's wild. I forgot about that one.
At least let him stay on the field now, which I don't know when that changed. Maybe I've just been oblivious, but ejection just.
Mizzou picked up a kicker from, I think he meant to type Neosha, maybe a junior college. I don't know. Is that Neo?
Northeast Oklahoma.
Looks like a Reddit thread.
Yeah.
No, that's right. I saw that on Twitter.
Okay. I want
to. So he's coming in like now to play? You can transfer in mid-season? Because I saw some like plans have changed.
Frazier.
Going to be kicking for Missouri this fall. And I was like, I just kind of went by it thinking it was next year, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Maybe
Adam Frazier is going to win a silver slugger.
You should have, AB, when you left to figure out your Wi-Fi, B-Turn saw something bad happen in the Royals game and he just pouted and he didn't even talk. We just sat here in silence while he pouted in his chair just like that. It was the worst podcasting you've ever heard in your entire life.
Well,
we're like inches from losing to the same player back-to-back nights. And a team that we're chasing has lost how many in a row?
17.
About to get swept by the Rays.
3 or 4, yeah.
We'll be, what, 1.5 back if they win? If we win?
Texas ended up losing. They were down 2-0.
Yeah, they lost. Hopefully the Mariners did. I mean, it was 8-0.
They were down 8-0. Yeah, they've got to lose.
All right, I want to have a conversation.
Jimmy Fallon left Fenway. They were down a million.
Missed the greatest game ever.
Yastrzemski.
Okay, I forgot. I tweeted that I wanted to talk about this topic on this podcast this week because B-Turn, have you been in the booth for the first two home games?
Yes.
Been there once. AB, I'm sure you've seen the videos, but have you seen the light show before the fourth quarter? Now, let's make one thing. Light show is electric.
Yeah.
But they're trying to do this Carry On My Way, that song. Which
Dude, it's by song. Kansas, man.
I know, and it's a good song, but it is not the song I want to hear blasting through our speakers in a tie game, in a Big 12 game, heading into the fourth quarter. Like, we've got a brainstorm. I think we could make change to this.
Dude, if it's 24 all going in the fourth against K-State and they do that shit, I'm leaving.
There's not one fan
in the crowd that's getting hyped. And I'll tell you 100% certainty, none of the players are getting hyped to that. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. No, it's – so I don't know what other schools do. I was briefly trying to look at it. Like Tennessee, they've got their little song, which obviously – but I don't know, like
their little song.
I've seen
Rocky Top.
what about Florida? They do the Tom their Petty song.
100-year-old tradition. Yeah,
they're Tom Petty, but no. I don't know because I saw people being like, "We should play the hum," and they do. They've been doing it where they play "Carry On My Way" and then switch it to the hum, which is just the weirdest transition, but. I don't think the hum works there. Dude, I don't know. That's why I'm like...
That's why you tweet about that on our account. I didn't really think of a song, but there's definitely...
Pursuit of Happiness Aoki remix, baby. What are we doing?
But again, it's a long time. Yeah, like...
Right at him.
What about the Lights Bass Nectar remix?
And
then the beat drops and it's like, oh my God.
Let's see. I'm going to go look at my tweets and see what people said. Some guy said Campfire Kansas by the Get Up Kids. I don't know what that is. Our boy Cardizzi said something Creed. Give me a little Creed song, AB.
I sang one earlier.
Cardizzi sent me like a crazy Creed.
Now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking...
Yeah, dude, can you imagine playing a suicide song about like
we can't lose
in a tie game?
That's what will happen if we lose to them again in heartbreaking fashion.
Correct, it'd be fitting.
I saw
you should play that when we walk out after a loss, like we lose 31-28 to K State. You got to play that when we're walking out, right?
Yeah. Metallica, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Oh my
God. I'm don't not a play, music guy.
Don't no, they play not. Metallica on the intro video? Is it Enter Sandman?
You guys are killing me. Ahead.
I love Metallica. I would do Metallica going into the fourth.
I'm so bad with music. I love No Hands and Waka. What a banger.
Ooh, the levels No Hands. Whatever it's called. You know, when they put the two songs together?
Merge? What is that called?
No, there's a word for it.
Mix?
There's a guy.
Maybe, but no.
This is...
Maybe, but no.
I don't know. Like, we hit Turbulence, an Allen Fieldhouse staple. But the problem is, it is a long time for whatever song is playing to be played. And maybe they
anything
just
but what they're doing, dude. They cannot do that.
Friends in low
again.
Places.
I'm serious. It's a fucking football game.
It's just got to be a song that is very easy to sing. I'm gonna throw one out. Pink Pony Club.
Stop it.
It's a historic banger. Like I was telling my wife this the other day. Pink Pony Club will be played at every wedding you ever attend for the rest of your life.
Not so fast, my friend.
AB's why? Not doing
when
it.
When I get married, I'm not going to play that song.
Oh, but your DJ.
No, because my
only request for my future wedding is that I get musical choice, I guess you want to say that.
Dude, I had that.
So get ready for a lot of Grateful Dead when you guys are eating dinner.
I was very involved with the music at my wedding, but you still got to give them, they still do their, like, there's moments you can't plan out a 5-hour night. I sent him a billion songs. Yeah, whatever. We'll see. I guarantee Pink.
We gotta actually think of songs.
And when I paid the DJ at your wedding $50 to play Pink Pony Club, I can't wait to see your face.
Yeah, and it'll be in the fall too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems hopefully to be a trend in this podcast. You're not standing at the altar as Kansas blows a lead. So that'd be sick.
Hypothetical wedding talk, boys.
Yeah. Grove Street Party, another tweet.
Yeah, fire me up, Waka.
I don't know if you guys watched WWE as a kid. I loved it up until about age 8, but somebody threw out the Triple H intro song. But if you guys didn't watch it, then...
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'll move on. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. When I tweeted that I don't like the song... I didn't want it to come off like I was roasting the KU people that decided on that, because like you have to, it's hard to make a choice there. I just don't think their
choice now is not the right one. No.
You could have done worse.
If you're fucking beating the dog shit out of someone, I'm cool with it.
Here's how KU can pay us back for us not getting anything from the booth name that is just mainstream now. That looks so good, Ryan.
What was it?
It's a watered down Diet Coke from McDonald's.
AP just got rock hard about this much left soda in a cup. That looks so good. You don't even know what it is. What if it was chewing tobacco?
Because the idea of McDonald's soda just always hits the bank, you know?
Good call. Yeah. Greatest Coke ever.
Oh, it's just unreal. Anyways, they should give us the ability to choose the song. At the booth.
Well, I think like right that. Here, right now, if we put
right
it,
here.
If
right now,
there's
right
a song, here. There's a song. But like, I really think if we could come up with one where we were like, that's it, we could get enough momentum on Twitter going to where it could happen. I don't know what the answer is.
Why not like something DMX?
Rip.
But yeah, I mean, so. But again, is the goal to get you hyped from the very jump, or do you want to, like, is it a sing-along goal? I don't know what we're going
for.
I think, I don't know.
I want to headbutt someone. Sing-along thing. I want it to make me fucking headbutt someone.
Let's think of a sing-along where it's like a sing-along for 90 seconds, and then something just crazy happens. Everyone goes nuts.
What about Mr. Brightside?
Well, that's Missouri's.
I'm kidding.
I'm so jealous of it because it is good.
Why not Sandstorm?
Hey, it's not Missouri's. It's Michigan. Let's get that absolutely clear. It is not Missouri's. Michigan did it first and way better.
What about...
we're just going to name songs for an hour. What about this one?
What about...
Okay, you fan.
Sir.
Dude, Taylor Swift would work too. I just don't know the song.
All Too Well, 10-minute version.
Shake It Off. Banger.
I'd Lie.
You Belong With Me.
What genre do you think they would go? I think that's the best question. Like, you think it's going to be a rock song?
Yeah.
Boys. Like,
divorce rock, whatever they call that. Divorce dad playlist.
It's not a matter. They've chosen their song. Like, I think we're locked in. I do
I
like
think
Fetty
we're locked
Wap.
In.
Trap
Help
Queen.
Me out for the season.
Who?
Done.
What happened?
Yeah. I just said. Flo Rida. I don't know. People are just roasting my music knowledge. I don't know music. I'm not a ball knower when it comes to music.
Diced Pineapples, the live version from the old booth.
Doses and Mimosas? How about that?
Hey now.
There you go, Levi. That's my playlist. Doses and Mimosas. I actually I can DJ decently, but I've got like 100 songs, and then you get me outside of that, and it's a problem.
What about the Puka song?
What is that song? It's Travis Scott.
Oh, yeah. The real popular one, Braden.
That one. I nailed that.
All of his songs. Oh. Fuck, what is that
out called? Like a light. Like a light.
What is that song?
This is terrible. What is that song? It's the most popular Travis Scott song. Waking Up in Vegas, Katy Perry. Bang. Sicko Mode.
A lot of bangers, man. Sicko Mode. Yeah, you're right.
Can you take... Oh my God, we have to do Higher by Creed and have AB reenact the halftime show. That they did at Cowboys Thanksgiving. AB's flying through the air.
In a Speedo.
Oh, yeah. That's how we win, baby.
Well, oh, God. Joe Adell's up with runner in scoring position.
Is it still 3-2? Can I just get that out of
you? No, we tied it.
Okay.
Frazier, Silver Slugger.
So, I don't know. I could sit here and name songs all week. The good news is...
No shit.
Sean Kingston's a good... A good call.
What, the guy that wrote a song about wanting to kill himself because girls
That's the case song.
AB, why do you have to go so deep into the background of songs? Like,
well, that's kind of his song. He says it.
That's one of his few bangers. Course. He's only got like.
What's the edited version of it say?
Yeah.
Instead of suicidal, it says we're probably going to get like struck on YouTube for this. I don't think you're allowed to say that.
I know what you're saying.
You had me.
Stop.
Why is my brain not work tonight? I have like, I have so many more takes and so many more ideas, and the brain is just fried, boys.
Okay. I'm really excited for the game. I've lost sleep this week. Dude, NFL's back tomorrow. I mean, are you kidding? The National Football League?
We got a great weekend ahead.
The Super Bowl champs? Say that much. Whooped our ass. I love the Eagles. E-A-G-L.
Do you guys see that they don't even realize it's the ring ceremony tomorrow?
That's so corny. I hate that type of stuff.
Wait, what?
Sirianni said that he didn't even know there was a ring ceremony.
And they're like not going to be on the field for the banner, are they? They're like, we're focused.
Maybe you have to tell me why we're pitching to Joe Adell. I just have to say that before it happens.
That was just so fascinating.
Runner on third, two outs. Open base.
Denial. Is that it? That must be it. Good call.
No. Oh, maybe it is.
I don't know. AB, speaking of things that have nothing to do with KU football. Some of our listeners knows the story about the moment AB thought Kawhi Leonard was going to go play for the Lakers.
Ooh.
And he's sitting in the car with me and B-Turn, and AB goes silent. We're on a 25-minute car ride. He doesn't speak to us the rest of the way. We drop him off at his house. He gets out, doesn't say bye, storms out because he's so pissed because he thinks LeBron and Kawhi Leonard are going to be teammates. Turns out...
Shout out Aspiration.
Who knows what was going on? Which was this even this contract that we're talking about where this new story about him getting 38 or whatever million, 28 million from a fake tree company?
He's had to have gotten another contract since, but.
So maybe that's wrong. Either way, wild story. Like,
it could have been to get him there. I don't know when those were dated and anything. That's crazy. That's what I woke up to this morning.
I'm sure it happens a lot. And I actually saw Mark Cuban tweeting before this that, which I'm sure it's in his best interest to not have people go after owners. Well, I guess he's not really an owner anymore, but he was saying like, there's no way Steve Ballmer would be stupid enough to, if he were going to do this, let a company that he was doing this with go bankrupt. And then like, so I don't know, but I feel like
how do they even punish him? They don't have picks to take away. Are they going to fine one of the richest men in the world? Mans, Jesus.
I saw that at some point this happened in the like late 90s or something. and they took away a bunch of picks, I think.
They don't have any.
Yeah, but like, could you take away picks in like 5 years? Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, wild. I just thought that was funny because of how invested we were in the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes back then.
So just a little feather from that conversation. How do you feel about all the LeBron stuff this summer?
What do you mean? Like, I love that he's obsessed with golf and he's clearly retiring after this year.
No, more the like the fake drama about him maybe getting traded, like that was ever real. And then people getting bent out of shape that the trade market wouldn't be that high for him, which is just factually accurate. This isn't hating. It's you're trading for a 40-year-old that's making $50 million or whatever he's making, and he's going to immediately want complete control of the roster and stuff. Like, no right-minded GM would ever want to do that. But people took that as he's not good at basketball because everyone's that LeBron fan's sensitive as fuck. But I don't know. I honestly didn't track the story too much. It's just I got on Twitter every day, and it was LeBron James. Where's he going to play next? Is he actually going to get traded? Is he going to take a pay cut? Is he going to do this?
Yeah, I followed it a little bit, but I agree with you. Like, obviously, why would you trade for LeBron at this stage? But it's just classic. That's what LeBron and his team do. They just put little things out there. They get little rumblings floating. But at the end of the day, I've said it for multiple years now, LeBron is a cheese ball. He's corny, but he is the best basketball player of all time. That's all that matters.
You brought up golf. Can we talk golf?
Sure.
I played my first round of mountain golf this past weekend.
How'd you like it?
Loved it. Beautiful. Played like shit. I chipped in one. That was cool. But I have the yips on the tee box, boys, and I don't know how to get rid of it.
That is not the place you want to have this.
Dude, the yips. I've never heard. 50% of the time, I'm grounding it up the middle to the red tees.
I don't know if I've ever heard someone say they
you
have
take
the
your
yips
pants down
on the tee box.
I should.
You have to.
AB, you're in Nebraska now. How far away are you from Sand Valley?
Is the that golf the one course? In Gothenburg?
I thinking of Sand Hills? Which one's Sand Hills or Sand Valley?
The Sand Hills are up here.
Sand Hills. Sand Valley's, I think, in Wisconsin. How far are you from Sand Hills?
If it's the one that I've looked up before, I think it's like 2 or 2.5.
Incredible.
Because it's in like northwest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
way
out there.
I'd like to play it. Is it public?
No. Well, I never know
because it's like if I went over to Scotland, I could get on St. Andrews or Carnoustie.
No, I think you can get on there, but I get it mixed up with Sand Valley all the time, so I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, having any yips off the tee, I'll tell you, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not, Ryan. It's not.
Have you considered changing? Is it all clubs? Are you hitting the same club? Like, what's that look like?
Well, it's mostly the driver. I actually feel confident in my long irons, which hasn't been a thing lately. Here's the thing. There was an elevated tee box in the altitude from 160. And I'm like, I don't want to come up short on this. So I'm just going to take a nice 6-iron. I hit it 220 yards. And it was just like, but again, altitude up, downhill, 100 feet. But that was fine. My other par 3 tee shot, I mean, they weren't great, but they were like, going places. The driver, it's just
that's what I would tell you.
What I'm doing,
put the driver away, rip some 4 or 5 irons off the tee, and then the driver you'll use the driver again in a week and you'll feel comfortable again.
I guess I got a tournament in a couple weeks and I just got to get that figured out because we do it scramble, but each person of the foursome you have to take one of their tee shots each 9. So like I'm gonna have to get it figured out.
Gotta start thinking about other things. It's like 10 cup. He gets the fucking yips at the range.
Yeah.
Then he has him doing
it's like Happy Gilmore. What's your happy place, AB?
Oh.
I know. But like,
what would be AB's happy place?
Pozzoli's?
John Mayer playing guitar in the Sphere. I know. That there might be 2 people that watch this that care about the Grateful Dead. But if you do, comment. You have to go to the Sphere next year and see it. It's the most insane life-changing experience you'll ever have in your entire life. And you just get to listen to John Mayer shredding guitar for 4.5 hours with the coolest graphics in the world. And
I've been to the Sphere. Like, I did not get to see John Mayer, though.
Oh, my gosh. And I get it. It's niche. But, just trust me a little bit because it's unbelievable. And I will be doing it again.
Yeah, I'm joining you. I'm going to go watch the end of the game and melt down.
Okay, so we got quite off topic, which is what we do best. Any major thoughts you guys have, or takes, or fears, or wants heading into Saturday that we need to discuss?
I trust our coaching staff. I trust our play callers. I trust our quarterback. Some of our fans probably don't, but we know what he's capable of. He's been.
Oh, buddy, we do predictions. We do them often.
I expect them to go in and compete. I mean, obviously, 6-point spread should be a tight game. I'm not like insanely confident. I don't think we're just going to go in there and do whatever we want. I think it's the best defense we'll play all year. So if the offense is competent and cooking a bunch of chunk plays, like, I'll be pumped going forward. I'm not saying that I don't care if we lose, but I expect it to be a good game. And like I said, I trust our coach more than theirs. I trust our quarterback more than theirs. I'm not saying
we haven't talked
about he's not good, but JD has the experience. I know their guy was at Penn State, so he's been around a bunch of talent with Kotelniki and stuff, but JD's been around for a while. He's played in some big games. And I trust them. Play mistake-free. It's going to be the most hostile environment they play in all year, I think, by far. I mean, I don't know what else would be close. You don't have to go to K-State.
Yeah. No, that's
got to be nuts. I've got two keys if you guys want to hear. One offense, one defense.
I love it.
We'll start on defense. Make him throw the ball. Make him beat you through the air. That's going to be my takeaway with I will not try to say his name again, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Medulla oblongata.
Yep, that guy. That one. Yeah. And then offensively, avoid third and longs, and do not let that defensive line just pin their ears back and go after in like an obvious passing situation. Like, it's obviously it's going to happen, but limit it as much as you can. I think we'll be in good shape.
It's a massive game for Z and Lubick.
Yeah,
I know. That's just how
keep,
I stay like.
Positive. Just keep getting positive yards. Don't need a like, second six sack to make it 3rd and 14, and then you might as well put it there.
Yeah, their front seven or whatever. I mean, they're just so loaded D-line, and their linebackers are fast as fuck. Like, it's going to be a huge challenge for the O-line that we were already worried about. But,
yeah.
The last few years, Lance found a way to field competent O-lines the last multiple years now. I mean, you got guys that come out of nowhere and end up getting drafted and shit. Pooney.
Yeah. I just really want, like, when I think about what this could be if we win, I think about that the road win at West Virginia back in, what was that, 2020?
Interception.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant. That one, the classic call.
It's not real.
I just remember that feeling after that game of being like, okay, Jalen Daniels is legit. This team is legit. Obviously different circumstances, but that's what I want to feel Saturday night after this game is like, there would be nothing sicker than going in and winning a game that is like in the 30s in a shootout type style of game. And just seeing vintage Jalen be the guy. Coach Z, we're all stay in love with him. I'm just very worried. My biggest fear is that the offense struggles and it just like loses all the momentum for the entire season. Cause I just loved everything we've seen from the, obviously it's very small sample size, but it has been so refreshing to see the offense looking similar, running similar things as they did 2 years ago. And I would just hate if this game somehow ruins that and ruins the vibe around this offense and everything like that. So That's all I want. Jalen Daniels to just play like an absolute star. That is the main thing I want.
That's why, like, I'm anxious for Saturday, because if we show we can move it at will, get big chunk plays against a really good defense like Mizzou, we definitely can move it against Big 12 defenses all year.
All right. Let's make predictions. You ready, AB? You got one?
Unfortunately, I'll be taking the Tigers 27-23, and I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Bad fan. But integrity, I like that.
And great teams cover.
That's a good journalist. Never cheer for the team you cover, AB.
I'm going Kansas 27, Missouri 24.
On like Kansas. a late field goal to win it?
Nope. 27-0, and they scored three straight times, go for two, but all of it. And I'm sitting there just fucking sweating.
I like that. I'm going to go 28-27 Hawks, because their junior college kicker misses an extra point.
Our kicker's a gangster. Knock on wood. God, why would I do that?
Oh, my God. We're going to play that clip next week, dude. There it is. He just missed three kicks right there. We've done this before. I can't remember what game it was. Who was our kicker? I did that.
I'm
kidding. No.
No, the guy that he ended up kicking at UNLV or whatever. He was on before our game.
Borchilla?
Oh, my God.
Electric factory.
That poor kid. Well, that was the night we played, was it Nevada, at like 9:30 p.m.? And we're just like, we just need this game to come on before we literally fall asleep pregame.
We made it interesting. UNLV
kid that was with KU before, he just missed that like 8-yard field goal that would have won it. They went to 17 overtimes, it felt like.
We made it interesting with Nevada, dude. God, we were huge favorites.
I feel like I've told this story on the pod before, but Borchilla, my favorite memory of him is, I can't remember what game it was, but he missed a field goal in the first half by 1,000 yards. Like, it was so far right, not even close. And then later in the game, he made like a 30-yard field goal and went off the field just going nuts and like fist pumping. And I tweeted, like, I love how psycho he went after this kick after he just missed a kick by 50 yards or whatever. And then he DM'd me on Twitter. So I don't know if he took offense to it, but it was awkward. But also, he was electric because he just didn't care. Not the greatest kicker in the world, but he was fun.
The worst.
Strong-minded individual.
Yeah. That's all I got. Last thing I'll say, and if you guys haven't, we won't discuss it, but have you guys watched the documentary Unknown Number on Netflix?
No. Dude. I've heard crazy things about it.
You gotta watch it. Don't spoil it. We should talk about it next pod.
I don't really like recommend shows to my friends, but I texted like five of my friends after it. Dude, I was sitting, and you know my ass. I tune out. My brain is fucked. So like when I figured out what all happened, I'm sitting there.
Yeah.
Like dead ass. Like I was like,
when I. Yeah, I sucked. I was like, you haven't seen it.
I texted so many people. I was like, dude, you have to watch this.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was.
How many episodes is it?
It's just one. It's like an hour and a half. You could knock it out tonight.
That's real clutch, because my biggest problem
Netflix, you gotta with go
Netflix
watch
documentaries
it.
Recently is like, it's 3-hour long episodes, but they could have cut it to an hour.
Oh,
and a half.
Yeah. No, like Netflix has been better lately.
The one about the, did you guys watch the one about the TikTok cult? Where they like Austin Eckler was in it, because he was married to the sister of the girl that went into they moved into this house, and it was like this religious cult, and they just like couldn't talk there. But it was an okay story, I guess. But then they just started going in on like these super deep personal conversations. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, no. 3 episode documentaries when they should be one are the worst, but yeah. This one you will fly through, and you will be locked in the entire time.
My thing, it's a couple weeks old now. Did you guys see Weapons?
No.
The movie?
No.
God damn it, guys. I've asked so many people if they've seen it. It's like the most popular movie in theaters right now, and no one has seen it.
He had never heard of it. It hasn't come across one time.
You can't be serious.
I haven't seen
one. You not listen to podcasts anymore? You not read Twitter? I feel like it's been everywhere.
No, I haven't. Okay. I'm sorry. What about the Cowboys documentary? Did you watch that? That was actually very good.
No, here's the thing. We've been in a real deep Survivor rabbit hole where we're just watching old seasons. So 46 right now. Yes. We're prepping up for the new season to kick off in a couple of weeks here. But the problem is Big Brother this year stinks out loud. So we've been finding other avenues for reality television.
All right, well, go find your lady after this and tell her you guys are watching Unknown Number. I promise you won't be disappointed. And I can't wait to see the text you send when you find out the twist. And,
just already know what he's going to say.
And then we're going to talk about it on next week's show after we talk about the Hawks winning 28-27. It ain't a guess. It's what it's going to be.
Finny.
All right. Well, seems like a great time to wrap it up as B-Turn is tuned into a Royals game. But hey, good job, boys. Clap it up again for ourselves, two in a row. Proud of us. And if the Hawks win, we'll probably be back. If we lose, who knows if we'll be back next week. But I like we to will believe be. We will. So,
we'll have a documentary to talk about.
Yep. Thank you guys for commenting and hanging out in the chat as always. And rock chalk. Let's go get a win, boys. We'll see ya.